Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
Like, I think if you ask 100 people, like, what's the most important thing in a partner or a friendship, 99 out of 100 are going to list loyalty and trust in the first five things, right? So when you know you got a snitch in your group, it's time to sniff them out and get them out of there. Rebecca's going through this right now.
Yeah, I got a PSA. Snitches get stitches. And I know the snitch is listening right now.
Okay. Hi, snitch.
So I have spoken about my best friend, I think, a few times on the show, which makes sense because he is a constant source of drama in my life. We fight like cats and dogs. He's basically my brother. So we have some fun drama that I've spoken about on air. But for some reason, every time I talk about him, I'll end the break. I go sit down. And I immediately have a text from him as soon as I sit down that says, "I heard what you said."
So he's listening to the show 24/7?
He's not listening. That's the thing. He doesn't have time to listen. It's our other mutual friend who is the major P1, who hears me talking about him, knows it's him, and texts him immediately.
And is it something like, "Oh, do you hear what Rebecca just said about you?"
Just, "Kiki, Rebecca's talking about you again, ha ha ha." sending him that every single time.
Then does he go and listen later on to the podcast to hear what he missed, or is he just immediately responding based on what the snitch told him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, first of all, he responds immediately, but then I know he just goes on Spotify and just Googles "Producer Rebecca, The Burke Show." So he's like, anything that he can find. But it is actually causing tension. Like, we've had fights because he doesn't like to hear me talk about him on air. Sorry, I'm talking about you again.
He already got the text.
It's supposed to be a secret.
Here's the thing also that I think I've learned over the years, and maybe you guys have also, is that when the initial person doesn't hear the segment, if it is passed on through somebody else, 99% of the time it is embellished. We're telling an embellished story on the air probably just for theater, right? So our embellishment gets embellished by the person that's the middleman as well. And if there's two middlemen, it's getting embellished twice before it gets to the person that you're actually talking about. And it always is reported worse than it truly is.
It's the classic game of telephone. Like, you start with one message, and by the end of it, you're literally saying, "I did not, I never said that."
Right, 100%. Right.
I mean, very that. Oh, my God. But the worst thing is, I know she's not being malicious. She's being really kind. She just thinks it's awesome because she loves the show, and she thinks it's so hilarious to, like, hear me talking about our friend on the show. But Ryan, I know you're listening right now. Stop doing cat cow. She wakes up in the morning and she works out and she listens. I'm talking to you, Ryan. Stop, please.
And who
you're going to get me in trouble.
Who's the friend that keeps getting offended?
My friend Devin. He's like my best friend. But Devin. We all know each other from high school.
All right. We're all going to go around the room and say something really nice about Devin.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yes. Kristen, tell us about Devin and what all the great things you love about this dude.
Everything I know and love about Devin, a person who I've never met or laid eyes on in my entire life, nor have spoken to. He has one of the kindest souls.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean,
oh, speak it.
His philanthropy acts.
You're not
mm-hmm. So there is a local animal shelter that he volunteers at every single weekend. He spends his entire Saturday there from the moment they open until the moment they close. And he reads children's books to the animals. It's the most precious thing you've ever seen.
He's an angel.
He is an angel.
Cassie, what do you love about Devin?
Devin is such a unique spirit. You know, he's one of those people, when you talk to them, makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. He's such a light and just attracts such joy and positivity. Most unique individual I've ever met.
Mm. I love his name, first of all. Has vowels in it and stuff. I think Devin is a beam of light who brings the sunshine in any room. Yeah. And it's pretty obvious. You can feel it in his aura and his spirit.
You bet.
And I think people hate on him for it. And it's not fair. But look how he manages to keep it together and just continue to be himself in every room. Mm-hmm. Come on, Devin.
What I love about Devin is his courageous spirit. You know, when I was broken down on the side of the road, I really thought, how am I going to get out of this? And of course, Devin, with his intuitive spirit, just knew that I was on the side of the highway, came, picked me up, brought me McDonald's.
Ooh.
So really, Devin is the superhero that we all need in our lives. Thank you, Devin, for your service.
Devin reminds me of a celebrity in one way and one way only.
Mm.
Follow me, because you won't like the first part of this sentence. He's a little like R. Kelly in that he just gives too much of himself.
His heart is so big.
His heart is so big. Tommy, do we have that audio?
Looking for it.
Never mind. His heart is too big, and people don't understand, and that's what he's truly guilty of.
Just having a huge...
Huge heart.
Huge heart.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're right.
Yeah.
He's going to be so pleased that I had his real name said on air
Rebecca,
like 18 times.
It's your turn.
Oh, Devin.
Oh, yeah. What do you have to say?
Devin.
Yeah, say all the nice things.
I love you so much, Devin. You know you're my best friend. You truly are a brother to me, and I don't have any brothers. So thank you for filling that role that I never asked for.
And for the middle girl, what do we say?
What?
The snitch.
Oh, Ryan.
Snitch.
Oh, my God.
Your cat cow post sucks. Mm-hmm. It needs work.
Just stop the sun salutations. Just mind your business, please, Ryan. I love you, but mind your business.
Okay. All right. Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
For your birthday, we got to tell Devin how great a friend he is.
Rebecca, all the reasons why we love her. We just went around the room and told Rebecca's friend, whom we've never met, why we love him.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And Devin, save this for whenever your birthday is.
The Burt Show.
All right, so what kind of drama you guys got going on in your life you want to share with the rest of the country here? Hit us up at theburtshow.com. In this case that Mo's going to read, this guy told his girlfriend that her mom is hotter than she is. Oh. Okay, and he said this while he was drunk. Can you ever take something like that back?
Oh.
Here is the email.
Good luck putting that toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube.
Yes. It's out.
It's out now. I'm kind of in a weird situation right now, and I'm just trying to get some perspective. I'm going to change the names for privacy's sake. So let's say I'm Patricia and my boyfriend is Alex.
Abby's not going to have that. Patricia!
Alex and I have been together for 3 to 4 months now, so it's still pretty new, but we've been having a good time getting to know each other. A few weeks ago, we were hanging out at my place, and Alex had a bit too much to drink. He's usually a bit goofy when he's drunk, but nothing outrageous. Well, that night, out of the blue, he dropped a bomb on me and said that my mom was hotter than me.
Hmm.
I was shocked, but laughed it off, thinking he was just joking around because, you know, alcohol makes you say stupid things sometimes.
Alcohol makes you say what you are afraid to say when you are sober.
Unless you're trying to be funny, but the alcohol is altering your sense of humor. Don't you think?
A statement like that? I think he's like, that's how he really feels. And the alcohol gave him the gusto to say it.
Damn.
Yeah, that don't just come out of nowhere.
Damn.
Yeah, you've been thinking that.
My mom, who I'll call Maggie, is undeniably beautiful and has a very charismatic and flirtatious personality, which I've always admired. I don't hold any insecurities about it, but hearing it from Alex caught me off guard. I chose to ignore it that night, attributing it to his drunken state. Fast forward to a few days later, I asked Alex about it when he was sober. He played it down, saying he was just joking around and didn't mean it in a disrespectful way. But it's still bothering me.
In what world? It's one thing to say, man, your mom is hot. He said verbatim, your mom is hotter than you.
That's wild.
That's an issue.
No. Yeah.
I can't help but question if he was being truthful during his drunken confession or if he was indeed just joking. I don't know if I should feel disrespected or if I'm just overthinking this. I understand that he finds my mom attractive, and I don't see that as a problem in itself. However, the comment about her being hotter than me, that feels a bit off. Is this something that you'd let slide or does it cross a line? Thanks so much. Love your show, Patricia.
Oh, it's so crossed the line.
Oh, yeah.
It's so crossed the line.
I can't even see the line anymore. That's how far it got crossed.
Dang. You don't give him any, like, drunk grace here at all? Said when he was drunk, said it one time. It was a bad joke. Does it go on his permanent record?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it does.
That's a comment I would never forget. Ever. Mainly because my mom is objectively hotter than me. Like, she runs marathons. So if my boyfriend said that to me, I would never forget that.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, I don't think you can come back from that. I mean, like Kristen said, it's one thing to say your mom's hot or... You know, I've heard people make jokes like that. Man, yeah. If I'd have met your mom first, you know. Like, but to literally say she's hotter than you, yeah, as my girlfriend 3 to 4 months into a relationship. Yeah, I think that one's pretty done.
I don't think it's a deal breaker, honestly. I really don't. Because it happened when he was drunk and stupid. So he gets definitely is in the penalty box, right? But a deal breaker. So now it's certainly going to be uncomfortable when he's around your mom the very next time because you're going to hear that in your head. But it's one mark, you know? I mean, has he been bad? If he's got all the check marks, right? And this is his first offense. Is that break-upable?
Right.
Look, every day Abby comes in here telling us how difficult it is there out there to try to find the right guy. So if this guy just made one mistake, can't you give him another shot?
But now, once again, like we just had a conversation about how you're saying women are too desperate and they're giving guys too many passes.
This is one pass.
A singular pass.
A singular pass. Right.
Do I think it's a
breakup? He's on probation.
He's on a heavy probation. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. The next time you do anything the slightest bit off-putting.
Yeah, you can't even smile at my mom now.
Yeah. You can't be in the same room.
Yeah. Don't look in the eyes, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you're treading on such thin ice now that you said that, right? Such thin ice. So literally, you can look at me the wrong way and I'm going to break up with you. Knowing me, I would use this, latch it onto another problem and be like, this was bothering me all right? The whole time. We're done.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
TikTok is officially banned in the state of Montana. Governor Gianforte signed a bill yesterday that will keep the app outside of the state's borders. Gianforte tweeted that he made this choice to, quote, protect Montanans' personal and private data from the Chinese Communist Party.
You know who is behind this? The Dunn family.
The who?
You think this is a Yellowstone plot?
The Dunn family.
Oh, the Dalton. The
Dalton.
Daltons.
Oh, okay. I don't think, yeah.
But thank you for understanding where I was coming from.
I thought
Dutton.
I thought you were talking about.
From Dunn to Dalton to Dutton.
I thought you were talking about like that LSU gymnast. I'm like, isn't that her last name?
Oh, Libby Dunn?
Yeah, I'm like, how does she have to do with that?
This is not a Libby Dunn problem.
See, Abby, we all do it all the time.
So we
say the wrong thing all the time.
I've got really mixed feelings about this whole thing right here. Okay, first of all, I know I sound super old when I come on here and I'm talking about dopamine and how much our kids are on screen time and how much I really think it's affecting their mental health and I know I sound old school there. So part of me is sort of happy about this because I think it is healthier for your kids that way. The second part of it is I watched all those hearings, man, about TikTok, right? And I still, in watching all of those.
The congressional hearings?
The congressional hearings still didn't see any true evidence that any of our information is being used by the Chinese government in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's a really great way to scare people, but I just haven't seen the data.
The data is it's being stored now in Texas on U.S. soil, especially once they finish this billion-dollar project to make all American data stored in Texas on American soil. It's hypocritical. If you're going to ban TikTok but not Facebook or Reels or any of Meta's properties, which also use people's information in different ways, it's just they're targeting one people because they want... I don't know their intentions behind it, but there's a scare about the Chinese Communist Party, and it doesn't apply. And we've seen in the congressional hearings, there's no proof whatsoever. And honestly, TikTok is a wealth of information. We are seeing people share stories, information. Some people are grassroots organizing on it. It is a great way for like-minded and non-like-minded individuals to learn and come together. The content on TikTok, some of it is trash, and some of it is really educational and interesting, and it was connecting to people. I found big communities on TikTok for polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which I suffer from. The education around that, what I've learned, which people I've paid, dietitians I paid in person weren't able to tell me. So banning TikTok and the wealth of information on it, I think, is a travesty to the U.S. and it's setting us back. And especially when if you've been on Reels, which is Instagram's answer to TikTok, the content is not the same. It's far behind. It is just, the content sucks on Reels, I'm going to be honest. But at the same time, you can't ban TikTok, then not ban Reels. It doesn't make sense that you're going to target one company and not the other one.
Logistically, if we're traveling across the U.S. and we cross into Montana, is our app all of a sudden not going to work? And then once we cross out of Montana to whatever state connects to it, because I have no idea right now, will it all of a sudden work again?
That can happen, right, Cass? I mean, because you can geolocate on your phone. So if it's locating you in the state of Wyoming, then you would not have access to TikTok.
They can do it a couple ways. It just depends what the infrastructure looks like. You could do geofencing, which is where you set up sort of like a fake fence around a certain area, which is how, like, if you use Snapchat and you go somewhere, like, to a festival and there's a special filter and it's only available at that festival, that's geofencing. Right? Or they could do it where if you sign up and your address happens to be in that state, then you won't be able to access the app. And that would be the easiest way to do it.
It's a real political hot potato. And for conservatives, it's easy to say, hey, we are blaming this on the Chinese government, right? And weaponizing communism and our relationship with China and saying that we just don't trust them. But the truth of the matter is, there's just not any data supporting what they're saying. So I got a problem with that whole freedom of speech thing, even though I do feel it's healthier for our kids.
It's the boogeyman. But if you feel like it's healthy for your kids, then you've got to limit their access to Facebook, to TikTok. Well, TikTok, obviously, but Snapchat, Instagram. Yeah. All of it. And to me, that's on the parents to do.
Well, I'd rather have my kid pissed at Biden than me.
Biden do this. A Republican governor did.
Yeah, my kid didn't know that.
then your kid needs TikTok so he can learn about politics.
I know. I'm so bummed about this, too. And, like, this is really, I think, will affect the economy more than people think, too. Because I have spent so much money on books ever since discovering the book talk side of things. I am in debt because I like to read now.
Yes. In all seriousness, Abby's hit on something. I've bought plenty of books because of it, but a lot of small businesses make their money off TikTok, not to mention also individual content creators. Mm-hmm. TikTok is a living for a lot of people, whether they are entrepreneurs or they're creators. And so now you're taking away their livelihood. So I think we're going to see a lot of pushback from this.
Yep. I wouldn't have my podcast without TikTok. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle say they were aggressively chased by paparazzi. Now the paps are speaking out. I'll tell you what they've got to say on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I want you to think of the lifestyle of Leonardo DiCaprio on yachts, on private planes, going from one beautiful movie project to the next, living this lavish lifestyle.
I thought you were going to say going from one beautiful model to the next.
I can add that.
Okay.
And then instead of inserting Leonardo DiCaprio in that picture, I want you to put our producer Romeo, because that's where we're heading.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right. Yes. Yesterday we told you about Romeo and the movie that he was in, that he made, that he starred in, that Melissa McCarthy co-starred in. And we played that scene for you. And anytime you do a movie, you get a residual check, correct?
If you get a speaking role.
You get a speaking role. You take it from here.
So, yes. So, a few years back, I got super lucky to get into this movie. I don't even know how, but they were like, hey, man, you got the look. Come sit over here. Hold this water bottle. You're going to be going back and forth with Melissa McCarthy.
So, you got the look of somebody that holds a water bottle.
Yes.
Okay.
You'd be perfect for this part.
I believe my credit in the movie was water bottle student.
Okay.
All right. And so,
thirsty.
Yeah. So, when you get a speaking role, you get what they say, I guess it's a contract. Mm-hmm. You become part of the contract of the movie business, right? And you get a nice little check right there. And then after a while, you start you get residual checks and they start coming in. And at first, they were really nice.
Yeah?
They were really nice.
Like
they
what?
Were like $500.
Oh, dang.
$600.
Well, and it depends like how often it runs, like on an HBO or Cinemax or, you know, on regular TV.
Yeah, right. So it's like anytime anybody watches it, if like, you know, it's on the airplanes, then they have to pay for that. And then that little bit of a check comes back to me. And so for a while, I've been getting like these checks.
Well, think about that for just one second. Hold on. Because, I mean, you had we were joking, but I mean, it was a really bit part in the thing. It lasted all of 30 seconds, right? Right. Now, so if you were getting checks on this all these years, think of all the other people on the set. Oh. And in that movie, that must have been getting residual checks. You don't even think about that, right? You just think the big stars are getting paid, but the water holding boy.
Yeah, so I've been getting these checks, but like over, obviously the movie's been out for quite a while, so the checks have gotten like less and less and less throughout the months. The last one I got, as you can see, was for $44.34.
Hey. Right. Man, very nice. Did you roll around naked on top of that?
I was throwing it up. And so the other day, I got a brand new check. And I've been doing this thing now where every time that I get a check from this, because obviously they've been going down, I get myself lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And based on how much it is, I can either go for a nice juicy steak or Taco Bell.
So is your stomach going to hurt later?
Yeah.
Or are you okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And you really could embellish this story when you're there and say, yeah, Melissa McCarthy's picking up my check today.
But today, you know, because it's Rebecca's special day, I thought I am going to give whatever's in this check to Rebecca, and we're going to invite her to lunch so she could have a nice steak or some McDonald's or Taco Bell.
Because it's her birthday. Right.
Because it's her birthday.
That's so sweet of you, man.
I am going to open it up.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be awesome if they screwed up his check earlier and there was like some major back pay in there?
He just said he's going to give it to her back.
Right.
Oh, that would suck. I'm scared. Okay.
All right. All right. He opened up the envelope. He is unfolding it now to reveal. Right.
Rebecca, your birthday lunch will be.
Oh, my God. It is $48.88.
Oh, yay! All right, where are you guys going? $48.
$48.
Okay.
Are you going to eat two, or does Rebecca get all the 48?
Why was that one more?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of bummed out. I was expecting it to be like $30.
Two more people watched on like flight 380 going to Utah. And see 13A and B. All right, $48 is $48.
You know what? I'm $48 richer. Let's go.
Damn right. You guys enjoy O'Charlie's or wherever you're at.
The Burt Show.
All right, our intern, Kiara, really believes that if you are taking any kind of lessons when it comes to romance from TV or movies, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you in a bad way. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What school are you representing?
I go to KSU.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kennesaw State. Okay, so
did I just see that Kennesaw State yesterday had somebody that graduated that was like 92 years old or something?
He's 81.
81.
But still impressive nonetheless.
You think he'd be offended? Like, hey!
Don't age me.
Don't rush my man.
You threw 11 years on my age. Might be a little pissed, man.
So what's going on at school?
So this past weekend, it was more at home, but this past weekend, my mom and I, we binge watched Bridgerton, the new Charlotte story. And I feel like whenever I watch like shows made by Shonda Rhimes, my expectations for love just gets a little bit higher. Like, I just have a bone to pick with her every time I'm finished. Like, I recently got into Scandal, which is, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm
good.
Like,
is,
yeah.
The sexual tension on that show
is palpable.
Oh, my
God, it's crazy. So I sat there for, like, we sat there for 6 hours. And I was, when we finished it, I cried for a solid 10 minutes. Like, it was so sad. And anyone who watched it would understand. But I sat there, and I was crying because the show was sad, but I was also crying because I was like, am I ever going to find, like, someone that's going to, like, you know, love me this, like, much? Because the declaration was just so powerful to me.
Mm-hmm. The love was, like, so big.
It's amazing. And I was sitting there, and I was like, Mom, am I ever going to, like, I'm sobbing. And she was like, are you crying right now? I'm like, I really am crying. Like, it's a lot. But, yeah, that's just.
So you got to blame this on Shonda Rhimes.
I have a bone to pick with her.
Cassie, yeah. This is like a hot spot for Cassie here also.
Yeah, I feel like growing up with all the rom-coms I watched and then shows like, God, even Grey's Anatomy with the love between Meredith and Derek, it just sets an unrealistic expectation. I felt the same way as you, and I was always comparing every relationship to these fantasy relationships that I knew I was watching fiction, but I thought it was fiction that portrayed real life, if that makes sense. Like real life themes, real life things that happened in a fictional setting.
Girl, Grey's Anatomy had an icicle that fell off a roof and impaled Christina.
And then she got picked up by Owen. Like,
immediately
after.
Spoiler alert. No, I'm kidding. But like, even before that, just even all the Disney princess movies where they fall in love and love fixes everything. And I felt like from the young age, I had been fed this lie that there is a great love out there that will literally, you will never fight with, nothing bad will ever happen. They will choose you over everything and you can be who you are. And that's true to a degree, but not to that degree. And so my relationships in the past suffered because I'd be like, I don't feel this huge, overwhelming, everything else is, you know, dead to me. I only see you love. And so I was like, am I broken? Am I not lovable? And I just think that they're beautiful love stories, but if nobody is telling kids, like, it's beautiful, but it's not real, honey, then you kind of get this messed up, jacked up idea of what a relationship should be like in your head.
They don't show you the scene where Kerry Washington's character is on her period and the president walks into the room and she just throws something at him. And they get in a major fight about that.
Were you at my house last night?
But yeah, I think you're right, man. That's it is. Fair. It's all a fantasy, right? We buy into it and that's half the reason why we watch, but it's certainly not real life.
Yeah. Don't you have a tip though to romanticize your own life?
I do, but it's like outside of relationships, if you're feeling like in the dumps and the slumps, because everybody, like the carpool line and doing the dishes and like everything gets so cyclical and mundane and boring. So in taking that kind of idea of taking real life themes and putting them in fiction, what I do is if I'm in a slump where I'm like, oh my God, again, I made the bed, I gotta cook dinner over and over and over again, I will look at each day and I'll challenge myself to find three things that stand out in the day. It could be a memory. It could literally be as simple as, I love the way the light is coming in through the window right now, and I'll take a picture of it. I love the curl of my daughter's hair, and this food was damn good, and I'll take pictures and I'll put it like together in a little Instagram post, and like those are the highlights of my day. So I create kind of a small highlight reel of my day, so when I look back on it, I can think of like three cool moments that's popped out, and they don't have to be big, but it's romanticizing your life. So think of every Instagrammer ever who's like got the latte with the perfect foam on top. You know they just took out the trash. Like, their life isn't perfect, but they are only showing you the romantic highlight reel. So start doing it for yourself. And it really changed my mindset when I started finding small beauty in every single day.
Yeah, some people call it like a gratitude journal. And that could just be three things that you saw in your life today that were just kind of like wins. And they were beautiful things. But most successful people do that.
Yeah, it's stopping. And I remember there's a piece of advice that Kristen gave me for my wedding, which I think someone gave to you, which was wiggle your toes when you're at the altar to really ground you in the moment and take it in. And that's what those moments do. And challenging myself to look for that stuff every day, I'm really grounding myself. So I'm not just going through the mundane, oh my God, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday. Like, I'm like, oh, today there was beautiful weather. I had a great meal. I had time with my daughter. And those things are what I find fulfilling.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and
What do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
I don't know how many of you guys have ever been to therapy or done some therapy sessions, but if you have, you know that feeling. Like when you're talking to your therapist and it just, she or he says something, or maybe you're even out of the office at the time and it hits you like a ton of bricks, this clarity. And it's an intoxicating feeling when you have this revelation or this breakthrough. And Kristen had one this week. It was forced on her.
It was. Wasn't so much of a revelation or an epiphany as it was I got called out and had to become self-aware and take accountability for what I was doing.
Oh, oh. Don't you hate when they do that? They wouldn't let you blame it on everybody else?
No, man.
Dang it.
Solely squarely on my shoulders, man.
Damn.
All right, so before I get to this revelation, I've actually had two happen this week. So you remember how you gave us the assignment where we had to name our inner negative self-talker, and anytime we were going to talk, you know, down to ourselves, we had to, like, call that person out, right?
And yours was?
Carol.
Carol!
So anytime Carol had anything negative or bad to say about me, I just had to say, shut up, Carol. And it didn't happen all day long. However, yesterday, what I realized is, like how Mo realized, he didn't have like a self-negative talker. He had like the overthinker in his head, and he just needed to tell that person to, like, let it go, Joe. Mine is, I carry so much tension and I tense up my body so mm-hmm. often that I catch myself throughout the day having to remind myself to relax, mm-hmm. like to let down my shoulders and to, like, relax my body. So that's now Carol. And I caught myself multiple times yesterday telling Carol to relax.
Mm-hmm.
I was like laying there and I could, like, my shoulders were up to my ears and I was just like, relax, Carol.
And can it be about anything? Like Jimmy starts screaming or something, or you're thinking of work, or it's any tension at all?
No, there's nothing attached to it. That's just how that's what my body does.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in bed and I'm super comfortable and chill, and then I catch myself and I'm like, oh, like I just have to, like, release my body. I just carry all this tension in my body, and it's literally not attached to anything that's, like, stressful or tense, like
right.
has any kind of tense to it. It's just what I do.
Yeah.
So now I'm just telling Carol to relax.
I go through the same exact thing. I actually discovered the other day that that's probably a part of the reason why I can't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't fully allow your body to relax to
right.
get into that state.
Yep.
But yeah, my body is always tense. That's why people are always telling me fix my posture and that kind of stuff. But I do the same thing naturally.
All right. So my therapy revelation.
Here it comes.
Where Susan called me out. I couldn't run. I couldn't hide. My butt was glued to the couch and I just had to take the criticism. Now, I'm going to have to do this vaguely because I don't want to disclose the two issues at hand because I'm not ready to put that stuff on the table. But because we talk about therapy so much on the show and there's so many people who are like, therapy, I can't afford, you know, I totally get that. So I'm hoping by what I discovered, maybe that's something you're dealing with too that you can try to implement in your life.
Let me just add one thing there, and they are not sponsoring us yet, but they certainly should be. When people say that, look, I can't afford therapy, I really can't. There are cheaper options now, online options, and I think the most popular is BetterHelp. BetterHelp, I'm sorry. So if you're in that category and you don't know where to start, you might want to start checking out their pricing programs right there.
All right, so there I am on the couch. It was already warm for the person previously sitting there, to which I asked Susan. I go,
I hate that.
Right? I hate that visual.
I am. Yes. Well, it was so funny because I'm like, what's the percentage of where people sit in this office? And so she went through all the chairs, and like where I sit is where like a majority of people sit. Anyway, I'm weird. That's why I'm in therapy.
This is why I do therapy online. I can heat up my own chair.
There you go.
I need someone else's residual heat.
All right, so I'm sitting there and I'm discussing a certain issue in my life, something that I need to work on. That seems somewhat daunting, but I know is important and is honestly like the number one priority, right? So I'm discussing this particular issue and I felt myself hit that like not literal, but figurative wall in my head. And I was just done talking about it. Like, I wanted to move on. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. It wasn't that it was making me uncomfortable. I was just like, you know how you get exhausted of the problem in the conversation and you don't have a solution right there. So you just want to kick it to the back and move on. And I literally felt myself hit that wall where I'm done talking about this. So I immediately shifted gears to another perceived problem that I have. All right. At the time, I thought it was a problem, but in actuality, it is not a problem in my life, but it's what I distract myself with in order not to focus on what I really need to work on and what the real issue is.
She called you on that.
Oh, she, in the moment, because I grabbed my phone and I was pulling up some receipts from my phone that I wanted to read to her, right? Because I was getting really amped and angry about this thing. And she caught, and there's, it's, this is like twofold and it's all coming back to me now. And she goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, I got to pull this thing. No. What are you doing? And I go, I want to pull it. She goes, we were just talking about something. You no longer wanted to talk about it. And now you pulled out your phone and you're bringing up this other issue and you have all this vitriol. And this, you are taking how you feel about this issue and placing it on this one when this one is not an issue for you.
Did you say to her, like, I feel like you're being kind of judgy right now?
So I'm sitting there with my phone in my hand, wanting to show her and read her these receipts, right? And she goes, you need to work on this. And you know this is a problem that deserves your attention. However, instead of focusing on this, what is most important, you are taking all of that anger and putting it over here onto something that does not matter. And I'm sitting there holding my phone. And I'm just looking at Susan, and I was like, damn it. And I was busying my mind with something else that was, again, it's not a real issue in my life. It's not a real problem in my life. It is a perceived problem. And I was putting all my energy and all my emotion and everything into this thing over here that does not, one, deserve it, and is not a real issue when my primary focus and where I need to be fixing something is over here. And because I'm either A, afraid of it, or it seems too daunting, or I'm just, I'm overwhelmed by that issue, I am avoiding it and deflecting and putting all my time and effort over here, which does not deserve it. So she called me out. I sat there. I let it wash over me, and then I start doing what I do, and I start cracking jokes about, you know.
Right.
But I am now committed, and I left that off. I left, and I was exhausted. But I left, and I realized, all right, this is what, like, in my right hand, this is what is important. This is what deserves my attention. And while it may seem daunting and overwhelming, it's not going to get fixed overnight, but this is what I need to focus and work on. This thing over here that I was giving all my attention and all my, like, emotion, I need to literally throw this away. It is not important. It does not matter. It has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I am going to literally let it go, and I'm going to come back over here with loving, tender care and fix this issue that will indeed make my life better and happier.
Nice. Very nice. She earned her paycheck that day. Oh, very good.
I'm even exhausted rehashing it.
I was about to say, you look exhausted from reliving it.
But I mean, I'm sorry I had to be vague. I don't want to put both those issues on the table because I'm just not ready to do that. But does that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me put a couple of issues on the table just because we're all sharing today.
Okay.
All right? Just to make you feel better.
Okay.
Mine is not the same as yours, but here we are talking about therapy. So I'll tell you about the two things that I'm working on. One, I sort of had an epiphany on, a breakthrough. And the other one, I'm not really sure. We haven't really worked through it just yet. But one of the things I'm really struggling with is my utter apathy for my connection with my mother, who has dementia right now. And I think I've told you guys about this before, just that I'm just kind of going through the motions, man. She's up in New York City, and yeah, she cut me off a long time ago, and I've tried to maintain a relationship with her, but it's been an on-again, off-again relationship my entire life. Whenever things got really hard in her life or any tension at all, she just ran, man, ran, and has never been there for me. So it makes sense to me that my apathy for her has been earned by her for sure. I get that logically, but the bottom line is you always have a gravitational pull towards your family, no matter how dysfunctional it is. So there she is up in New York City, and she's in this dementia care facility. And every time I pick up the phone to call her, it just feels like the most exhausting thing I'm ever going to do in my life. It is so incredibly tiring because I feel 80% of me feels like I just don't care. 15% of me feels like I'm doing this out of obligation. And 5% of me, I'm just bored. no, with joking about the 5%, but I'm really struggling with the fact that I'm not having, like, there's, no, I feel like a robot. Like, I should have more feelings for this person that is my mother, even though it has not been a great relationship. I just feel so cold. And we get on the phone, and I know it's only going to be a 2-minute conversation, so it's not a big deal anyway. I know exactly how it's going to go. How you doing, Mom? Oh, I'm not really good. I can't wait to go home. My mom's not going home. She doesn't know that. She's going to ask me questions about my life. She's going to ask me about my marriage to Stacy, which ended 8 years ago. She's going to ask me about my kids. And Ella. It's the same 2-minute conversation every time. So it shouldn't be hard, right? But I'm beating myself up because every time I put that phone in my hand, it just feels like the hardest thing I ever have to do. So that's one thing. The second thing was an epiphany, and really, I believe, is going to help Tiffany and I in the long run. We both come to the table, and anybody, I think, in relationships comes to the table with a certain amount of baggage. It is really amazing to me that any two people stay together forever. When you really think about when you are bringing all of your baggage from your entire family tree, right? And they're bringing all of their baggage from their family tree also. It's amazing to me anybody can stay together forever and match their baggage, right? And the epiphany I think I had this week is the way that I grew up, which was very, very dismissive. Like, my parents weren't engaged in being parents whatsoever. And when you grow up in that environment, you tend to want to take things by yourself. You want to handle things by yourself. When things get kind of rough, you sort of want to be left alone. And maybe because you know that there's going to be an abandonment eventually, you just keep people at arm's length, right? Tiffany grew up in an environment that makes mine look like the healthiest of all time. It was really dysfunctional, man. I mean, she really, really had a very difficult time. And I don't want to get into too many of the details of her life and her childhood, because it probably hurt some of her family to hear some of it. But her trigger, and when she is in times of tension or conflict, she just needs to be held and she needs closeness. And mine is just the opposite. So for me to have that empathetic feeling when she's going through that, and for her to have empathy for me and the way I handle it, has always been an obstacle. And it's never going to be a game changer for us, or a breaker, I should say, because we're going to be together. But just knowing that and figuring out that, okay, this is the way that we're going to have to deal with each other, because we're very separate in the way that we handle our interpersonal relationships or our interpersonal relationships, that it made everything seem so obvious to me.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy how, like, the obvious can be so hard to find. Because you'll be sitting there like, why didn't I think about this? Like, why didn't I see this? But
And you know, when they say opposites attract, it's true. It doesn't make things easy, but it is true. And in a case like this, the way that we handle our conflicts and resolutions are so different based on how we grew up, it's always going to be a challenge for us.
And it's two-pronged, because it's one, it's respecting what that person needs and giving it to them, and reminding yourself that what you need may not necessarily be what they need.
True.
And not reacting the way that you want somebody to react to you. You need to react to them the way they needed to be responded to.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle say paparazzi chased them for nearly 2 hours yesterday. So Prince Harry, Meghan, and her mom were all in NYC for an awards ceremony where Meghan was being honored. And according to the couple's security team, paparazzi wanted to find out where the couple was staying, and the paps read ran lights while pedestrians were in crosswalks. They drove the wrong way down one-way streets and even drove into oncoming traffic on 34th Street. Really scary stuff. So reports from the incident are a little bit conflicting. We have statements from the Royals rep, the NYPD, and the NYC mayor. A rep for the couple said last night the Duke and Duchess of Sussex and Miss Raglan were involved in a near catastrophic car chase at the hands of a ring of highly aggressive paparazzi. This relentless pursuit, lasting over 2 hours, resulted in multiple near collisions involving other drivers on the road, pedestrians, and two NYPD officers.
Mo, you lived in New York City. Is it possible to have a two-hour car chase in New York City?
I don't believe so. I don't see how that can happen anywhere in the city.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
I mean, a lot of people are coming down on the fact that, and I'm sure, like, for a bit, like, if they're, like, yes, there's a ton of pedestrians, a ton of traffic, if you're weaving in and out, I am sure. I saw a lot of criticism as to how they could be driving around for 2 hours and not find a safe spot to like pull over. And not that they're in the wrong, because if the paparazzi are driving erratically, obviously they're in the wrong. But for this to go on for 2 hours in New York City with the way the traffic is, everybody found it, not everybody, quite a few people found it a little unbelievable.
Well, I was in New York for a couple of months
That's right.
And I would never take Ubers because you're literally just sitting in traffic. So I was kind of like, well, this does sound a little off. And from a lot of celeb interviews that I've listened to, they've always talked about how the NYC paparazzi is a little bit different than how they are in like LA or other big cities, because they just want to get their photo and move on. They're very like cut and dry. The NYPD did see things a bit differently than what the rep described. They said there were numerous photographers that made their transport challenging. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex arrived at their destination and there were no reported collisions, injuries, or arrests in regard to the chase. NYC mayor seemed to side a little bit more with the couple. They said that the chase was reckless and irresponsible, and two NYPD officers were injured.
Now, to be fair, I mean, considering what Prince Harry went through and how his mother died, like, I can see that feeling, whatever is happening, being exacerbated because you have that past trauma.
Yeah, he's going to see that experience through a very different lens.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. A very different lens. So, I mean, I definitely have empathy there.
Yeah, it's super jarring, obviously, because of the way Princess Diana passed away. So I can imagine they almost maybe want to scare the paps a little bit. Like, maybe it wasn't to the degree that it's being described, but they want to put it in their heads that this is not okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dial it back a little bit. Okay, Lizzo wants to set the record straight that just because she's healthy doesn't mean she's trying to get skinny. So Lizzo stitched a creator on TikTok who said she wanted to know if there was anybody else out there not trying to escape being a woman in a larger body. Lizzo made a video to say, absolutely, I've made lifestyle changes, but it's not for weight loss.
I am very hippy-dippy and woo-woo when it comes to food and supplements and just thinking about my body and like the environment. And I think a lot of people see a fat person that way and immediately just assume everything they're doing is to be thin. I'm not trying to be thin. However, the goal is always here. Once I started working out for mental health, to have balanced mental health for endorphins so that I don't look at myself in the mirror and feel ashamed of myself and feel disgusted with myself, exercise has helped me shift my mind, not my body.
Maybe she's talked about this before, but I haven't heard it before. But my concern with Lizzo has been the way that people might interpret her message in the past, because I don't know that I've heard her talk about her health. I love her message of body positivity, but the truth is there's a health element to it also, and here she is focusing on that. And I do think that when you take a look at a person that's overweight, I think the cliche is that they're not healthy. And I don't think that's right. And I think that's the beautiful message that she's sending here, is that I'm doing all the things, man. And my goal is not to be thin. My goal is to be healthy. And that right there to me is spot on.
Yeah, she's done so much for women, especially like her background dancer. She's always put such a focus on
showing diversity, not just in race and different ethnicities, but also in different body types as well. And she's really celebrated being healthy and not just trying to like eat healthy so, you know, you look like the stereotypical beauty standard.
Listen, there's no way anybody can say Lizzo is not in shape when she does the type of concert she does and dances the way she does 100%. And sings the way she does and plays the flute the way she does for an extended period of time.
It's not easy to do.
She plays the hell out of that flute. A super unpopular celeb couple just broke up. I'll tell you all about the heartbreak on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, Romeo and Mo. 60 seconds on this, and 60 seconds only. It's the one thing on my Ask Me Anything yesterday that was coming up over and over and over again.
Was it really?
Yes. When are Mo and Romeo going to set this bet and the repercussion so we can be done with it on The Burt Show? Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, let's reset it, come up with the repercussion, and be done with it already. People?
Okay, Romeo challenged me to play FIFA against him because he felt like I couldn't beat him. And so I started to train, and then we finally played the game, and then I beat him. After I beat him, if he lost, he was supposed to take me around in a car at the price of a brand new PS5, which is what he would have won if he won. But he didn't. So since then, which I don't know, it's been probably over a month now, he has supposed to been driving me around as my, like, Lyft or Uber driver. But every time I've reached out to him, well, the one time I reached out to him for my comedy show where he was supposed to take me and my family to the show, he went to another concert in which I couldn't say anything because it was a Mexican concert on Cinco de Mayo. So apparently, yes. You got a pass.
Yes.
And now this has been going on and on and on and on, and we are finally at a place where he's going to have to either take me somewhere so we can get this over, or he has to suffer the repercussions.
All right, what's going on, dude, so we could just move on with our lives? What's up?
You know, it's schedules. You know, I'm a pretty busy guy.
No more excuses while we're doing.
No, it's supposed to be Mo.
Okay,
Mo was supposed to come up with the date. This ride has to be done by, and if it's not, the punishment.
Let's go.
So here's what I'm thinking. For the next 2 weekends, I have a few places to be. I got some events going on this weekend. And then the next weekend, I'm going to need a ride to the airport. So I'm going to need a few rides. So I'm thinking we give him 2 weekends to make this up. And he has plenty of time to do it because pretty much every day I have somewhere to be. So if he cannot
Is Vente de Mayo coming up or anything, Matt?
I don't think so. I think we're in the clear.
Good?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
You need two. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
I think it's fair.
2 weekends.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's fair.
Well, of course you don't.
You don't get a say in the matter anymore. And if not, if he doesn't show or he flakes on you, then...
Because I was so disappointed that in the time me and Rebecca bet that somebody was supposed to have the bungee jumping and it's not going to happen now.
Oh, damn!
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay!
I want to see somebody bungee jump, man.
Let's go! Let's go! All right! So all you got to do is what you're supposed to do anyway,
right,
is pay off your bet. If you don't, you dangle.
Yep.
Okay.
Are we good? We set?
We're moving on.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you afraid of heights?
Terrified.
Oh,
this is perfect.
All right, so you will definitely get your ride.
I believe so.
We're done here.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for stopping by, Rob. All right, today is follow-up Thursday. This is when you guys remind us of storylines that we just don't have closure on. And in this case, we helped her, but it kind of went sideways because the date wasn't what her fantasy of this date was going to be, right?
All right, so we ended up getting an email from Jess Simmons. Hey, Burt Show, remember the college student had the creepy college professor stalker? Whatever happened with that? Can I get a follow-up Thursday? Why, yes, you can, Jess. So all the details. Michelle reached out to us seeking help, scoring a date with a former professor. We did the texting tutor, landed her a coffee date. He was very formal, so she ripped the Band-Aid and told him how she truly felt. He was flattered. End up asking her out for drinks later that week. But things took a turn when she was bored to tears during the date. She, in quotes, escaped the date and ghosted him. Little did she know, he wasn't going to give up on her that easily. After constant texts and DMs on Instagram, she blocked him. We all thought he'd get the hint, but he took it to the next level and started stalking her at work.
Ooh.
Sent her flowers, left notes on her car. Her friend ultimately called him, pretending to be an officer to get him to back off. I forgot all about this part of the story. We were hopeful that it would work, but skeptical at the same time. We advised her to get the actual police involved and get a restraining order if need be. Did she take our advice? Is he still stalking her? What has happened?
Follow up. No, I never did file any kind of report. I talked to my friend, who works in law enforcement, and he gave me his opinion on the situation. According to him, while the professor's behavior was undoubtedly creepy and annoying, it might not have met the threshold for legal action. Fortunately, soon after our conversation, I started noticing a change in the professor's attitude. It became apparent that he had shifted his focus onto someone else. I felt a mix of relief and empathy. On one hand, I was relieved that he had finally moved on from me. On the other hand, I couldn't help but feel sorry for the new person who became the object of his affection. At least I no longer had to deal with his unwanted attention. I have to admit, curiosity got the better of me a few times, and I ended up scrolling through his Instagram. It was there I discovered he was indeed in a new relationship. It was a simple confirmation that he had moved on and found someone else to direct his attention towards. So, I felt pretty confident that the situation was behind me, and it seems I was right.
There you go.
Not your problem anymore.
Nope. Happy ending.
Over. Bye.
The Bird Show.
All right, so how would you even know that you are being catfished? I mean, when you find that out weeks, months, years maybe, after hanging out with somebody online, and you find out you have been catfished, you must feel so humiliated and embarrassed. So what are the signs? Abby knows a dude that has happened to a couple of different times, right?
Yeah, so I just went out with a guy over the weekend, and we were talking about our horrible experiences with online dating. And apparently getting catfish is like a pretty prevalent problem because it's happened to this guy a couple of times, which might be a personal problem on his part.
Here's the part that I don't understand about catfishing sometimes is I've talked to a couple of people that it's happened to also, and there was no end game to it. Like, I automatically assumed that they were going to try to get money out of somebody else, but there just seemed to be no end game. It was just somebody jacking with somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I talked to him about too. I was like, I don't really understand if you, at some point, you're going to get to the point where you're going to need to meet them if you really want to get some kind of emotional validation from this guy. And every single time he says that it's never gotten to the point where they meet. They just want to feel almost like they're cosplaying as a different person, like having the validation of like, oh, I matched with this person and you're giving me attention. And they're sort of like pretending to be this person that they're not.
That's evil,
right?
It's weird, wild, right?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's people who do this are like they are lacking validation or attention or something in their life that sure. There is no end game. For them, it's just about the game and getting that attention and getting doted on, though it's not really them.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. And I think the most popular case we've heard of is that old football player, Manti Te'o, back in the day, right? Who was playing for Notre Dame and then the Chargers, and he fell in love with this girl that wasn't a girl at all. And it's been well documented on Netflix, and I think that's the first time we heard it. But it made some sense to me because this dude's an All-American. He's about to cash in the NFL, so maybe there was going to be some money involved, but most of the time, it's just messing with people.
I know, and it's weird. I know a lot of girls my age also get like these spam DMs where it's like, I would love for you to be my sugar baby. Give me your Cash App. And I've always wondered if that's worked out for anybody. Like, has anybody actually tried it out and have you ever actually gotten money? But I think that's definitely more obvious that that's a scam. So I was asking him, I was like, okay, well, you've been catfished 4 or 5 different times. Do you feel like you have a good catfish radar? Do you know the signs? Do you know what to look out for now? And he gave me...
By the fifth time, I'd say, no, he doesn't.
It shouldn't take that many times.
That's a rhetorical question at that point.
By the fifth time, I'm going to be like, your catfish radar is off. Big time.
I know. So I was like, give me 5 different things that I can look for when this relationship eventually doesn't work out, because now I'm feeling some type of way about you. Now I know that you've gotten catfished 5 different times. And he told me there are a couple of things that he's noticed in hindsight looking back on his experience. And he said the first thing that he always looks for anytime he's wondering if he's getting catfished, he gets asked for their number and a little red flag goes up in his head if they have an Android. I don't know. And I wonder, I'm like, is that like a little bit sketchy? Like maybe somebody's using like a fake number, because if you have an iPhone, you have to have a specific account attached to that. So maybe it's like a computer texting with them.
Okay.
The second is they will call you to kind of throw you off. So they'll do voice memos. They'll talk to you on the phone, but they will not FaceTime with you. If you try and FaceTime call,
That would be my first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If they're always making excuses.
Yeah, for FaceTime or any kind of video communication.
But for me, I'm thinking, well, if you pick up the phone and call, that would throw me off, because I'm thinking, oh, well, if you're willing to talk to me over the phone, like that's kind of a sign that you're a real person. But it could just be a girl, but it's not the same photos that she's using in her profile.
And you can also like alter your voice now in phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
So FaceTime would eliminate that, but you can alter your voice.
Be like an AI. This one I thought was interesting. So he specified that these were not naked photos, but that they will not send you photos via text. They will send you photos via the dating app because you can't save the actual image to your phone if it's on like Bumble or Hinge. Mm. And so then you can't do like a reverse photo Google search. You can only screenshot, which I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
The next one was, if they delete their profile and then they hop back on the app and say, oh, I deleted it, now I'm back. If you matched with me, it's because I just deleted my profile. Because a lot of the times they will delete their profile because people will catch on. And so then they will, you know, get rid of the match, move on with life, and create a new one.
Okay. Gotcha. They got busted, so they need to create a new account.
Yes. And then this one I thought was funny because I felt like it was just such an honest revelation. But if it's just too good to be true, you know what I mean? If Adriana Lima is on Bumble... It's probably a catfish. It's probably somebody using her Getty images. But yeah, we're still talking. I'm not a catfish.
Yeah.
And
he was probably so relieved.
He probably was.
Just showing up with an actual person is a win for this dude. The bar is set so low. Aww. You just showing up was a win.
He's ready to get married.
He's like, I'm ready to propose. And I was like, not yet, buddy. We got some explaining to do with this catfishing stuff.
It's tough out there. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Look, you know the old cliche that you can't teach an old dog new tricks? It's not true. All you got to do is look at Kennesaw State.
Did you just call Paul Weiser an old dog?
He's 81 years old. He's old. I mean,
I think it's fair that age. Yes.
At 81 years old, you're old.
His graduation picture is precious. Paul Weiser, 81, graduated magna cum laude with a degree in interdisciplinary studies from Kennesaw State University. That's been nearly 40 years since he first began his education at the university. So, see, wow. Bert, you could go back in any time.
Yeah, I'm just taking this year off again.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
He did go back.
He did go back.
Oh, mm-hmm. It ain't just take him 40 years to graduate.
Yeah. No, oh, okay. Yeah. We might not be talking about the story if that was the case. So, yeah, he returned to KSU after initially enrolling in 1985 when it was still called Kennesaw College. And after he recently retired, he decided to finish what he started at KSU and became the first in his family to earn a college degree. More importantly, he wanted the credential to be able to move forward in his efforts to end veteran homelessness. Because he is an Army vet.
Super cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Never too late.
I saw this in the AJC this morning here. Have you guys heard of the Boot Girls?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Love you that. Heard about these girls?
Yeah, somebody was just telling me about it the other day because I see all the time on Instagram. They're like, I paid for parking and so got booted.
Right. So this has everything. You know what a boot is, right?
Yes.
All right. So you park somewhere you're not supposed to park or whatever, and they hit you with one of these boots on the wheels of your car. You can't get it off, right? You got to pay in order to take that thing off, which, by the way, is illegal in Georgia, except for three cities, right? The city council has to pass for those boots to be legal. And there are three cities, Atlanta, scrolling through the article, Decatur is the second one I can remember.
Union City.
And Union City. Really the only three places, right? So lawyers have been trying to get them outlawed entirely.
Because it's private companies that are making money off of this, right?
Yeah. And it usually costs about, $75 or whatever or more to get those removed. Well, these boot girls knew a dude in Atlanta that had a master key to all of these boots. So they got a couple of these keys and they started charging people $50 to take the boot off their car rather than the 75 or the 100 or 125 that people were paying, right? So they have done it. And they say they get call after call after call every single day. I think they say they're making like 40 calls a day now.
Wow.
So they have made a true company out of it. But there are lawyers that are trying to shut them down. But as of today, you can call them or you can Insta them and they will take the boot off of your car.
Dang. Nothing illegal about it or anything like that?
Nothing illegal about it if you're in any state, any part of the city, state, I should say, except those three cities.
And they're not the only ones doing it. There's another dude called, his name is Christian Verriette or Verriette. And he is calling himself the self-proclaimed parking boot Robin Hood. and you can go to his website, ATL Boot Key, and he's selling master keys online for $50 each to unlock boots in parking lots. So far he's sold around 600 keys in the last few months. And so then you have that key. So if it ever happens again, because apparently there's only like two or three keys that like they have, and you can't take all those boots and re-key them because that would cost a lot of money. So basically what these companies are stuck with is a bunch of Atlantans having the keys down.
Truth. All right, staying with traffic here, man. I guess because I drive in it every single day and I just understand the flow and the way people are driving, that driving around in Atlanta to me and the aggressive drivers is like, I don't even think about it anymore.
When I first moved here 12 years ago, I avoided 285 at all costs because it terrified me.
In what way? People were just driving super fast or aggressively?
No, not that. When you like, you know, because I came here from a smaller city and a smaller town. And when you have like what feels like 82 lanes of traffic and you're like having to move over multiple lanes, and it's terrifying. Like it is scary to move here and try to navigate traffic when you have so many lanes.
Kristen is so nervous in a car. She would drive with me. I think I've told y'all this, where you know, like those Best Buy box trucks. We were on like a skinny lane road. It was two lanes.
We're on freaking Roswell. And those lanes are tiny.
We're on two lane road. And Chris is like, box truck. It was just right beside us.
I could have stuck my tongue out the window and I would have hit this thing. That's how close I got to it.
The last time I drove with Chris and she was driving, she has to wait for the road to be completely empty before she merges on right from a parking lot. There has to be no traffic at all on Roswell coming for her to actually jump on a Roswell road. I'm like, there are no cars anywhere. What are you waiting for?
I feel very safe when I ride with you personally.
Thank you.
I don't feel that way with Bert.
No.
We're going to get there fast.
Yeah, definitely going to be on time.
So I think I'm part of the problem, but it's been highlighted for me the last couple of weeks since I'm teaching my 15-year-old how to drive. And let me just give parents credit for this. And if you're not at this phase yet, I can't think of anything more stressful when it comes to parenting than teaching your kid how to drive. Maybe it's Atlanta traffic, but I can't tell you how stressed out I am on not being in control of that car when Hollis is driving. And he's not a bad driver. But I do realize now that people are so aggressive in this city, and I feel like, and maybe, I don't know if it's just an Atlanta thing, but the aggressiveness and the short fuse of drivers now in this city is crazy small.
That is so rich coming from you.
Compared to what I've seen with Hollis in the car, I'm cool as hell.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You are.
What'd I do?
When you merged and that guy wouldn't let you over, so you just hit his car?
Dude, that was 10 years ago. It was literally 10 years ago.
That goes on your permanent record.
I really did snap in traffic.
You just hit him?
Yes.
So, okay.
It's not bumper cars.
No, it was a legit hit and run.
Yeah.
To be
and
honest.
He kept going.
You play Mario Kart in real life?
Okay, she's right. But there is some context. She's right. But let me play defense attorney here.
Go for it.
All right, first of all, I had a woman in town that I was interviewing for a position on the Burke Show. Her name is Brooke, right? So Stacy and I were driving her to a restaurant. This was the time where my wife and I were going through a very difficult time. I had just lost one of my best friends who passed away, and I had like three or four things going on in my life. I was on the edge. I mean, anything could have pushed me over. And while I was in traffic on the way to this restaurant in Buckhead, I admit it, I freaking snapped. We were trying to merge off of 400 and I just dug in. I'm like, I'm not letting this guy merge. And we ran into each other. I don't know if I hit him or he hit me, but I had just totally and completely snapped, and I'm like, F this guy, and I actually took off. I'm sitting at dinner with this person that I'm interviewing and my now ex-wife when I get a call from the cops and said, I just want to let you know, we know who you are, and what you just did was a felony, so come on down.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I just completely snapped.
Not today.
I did, man. Oh. I don't know if you guys have ever had that moment where you snap, but that was it. And I've buried it so far down, I swore I would never talk about it again.
But look how far you've come.
I don't feel like it right now. All right, it's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.